Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Today we are continuing to think about how we should think about the scriptures, how we should think about the Bible. And our key idea for today is inspiration. Sometimes we think about things that inspire us. Oh, this beautiful scene in nature just takes my breath away. Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon? Oh boy, you get there and go, I can't believe what my eyes are seeing. It's so beautiful, so spectacular. And if you've ever been to Yosemite National Park in California, it is unbelievable. Sometimes you think, well, it can't be as good as everybody's hyping it up. It's absolutely that great. Well, people say these are inspiring scenes, sunset at the beach, or sunrise, depending on which ocean you are, I guess, which would be the most inspiring in that scenario. But when we talk about the Bible being inspired by God, we are in an entirely different category than just God's handiwork, right? The heavens declare God's glory and reveal his glory to us in Psalm 19, but it is his word, which is his special revelation, which is inspired by God and profitable, as it says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Well, how does this work exactly when you see a thing like this? It says, okay, it's inspired by God, but how did that work practically? Well, 2 Peter chapter 1 gives us some insight into this as Peter says these words beginning in verse 16 of 2 Peter 1. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven. For we were with him on the holy mountain, and we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Well, this passage is loaded with good stuff. I mean, first of all, Peter tells the story of the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter and James and John were taken to the mountain and Jesus starts glowing in the dark, right? It says that he was radiating glory and his clothes were so white that no launderer could make them so white. I mean, it must have been a spectacular experience to be there. It was sort of terrifying, right? That's when Peter was like, oh, let's make some houses here for you and Moses and Elijah, because they also showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration. But then they heard the very voice of God himself saying, this is my beloved son, listen to him. But I so love this passage in 2 Peter 1, because Peter says, hey, don't be envying me about my spiritual experiences. You have something even more sure than any experience. You've got the very word of God. Wow, that is incredible. The prophetic word to which you will do well to pay attention. Absolutely. Right? If we've got something even more valuable than Peter's experience on the Mount of Transfiguration, we had better pay attention to this. And we have this truth in the Bible. But he goes on to describe basically the process of inspiration. As he's describing how important the scripture is, what he says is that no prophecy, no word of God, no nothing we have in the scripture was ever produced by the will of man. I think meaning by the will of man only. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The illustration that's sometimes used is a sailboat. Sailboat is going along in the water, but it's not really the boat that's doing the motion. It's because the wind is filling the sail and propelling the boat along. Well, in the same way, the Holy Spirit was propelling the various writers of Scripture, all the way from Moses writing Genesis to the Apostle John writing in Revelation. All of these writers over all of these thousands of years in different locations, the Spirit was blowing and carrying them along, just like the wind fills the sail and carries the boat along. So this is great. This is so important for us to recognize what's going on here. I love Greg Allison's book, 50 Core Truths for the Christian Faith. And he takes kind of 50 areas of theology, and almost it's a book to teach you how to teach theology. And I've taught through that book, or using that book, had a Sunday school class where we went through all 50 of those core truths, and they were great. He gives a great summary of the truth, some key errors over the years of church history that have popped up, and issues. And then how to apply it, how the Bible teaches this thing. And when he's talking about inspiration, he makes some very good observations. He says that the Holy Spirit used their perspectives, the perspectives of the writers of Scripture. He used their personalities. He used their writing styles. He used their experiences, but he guided and guarded it all so that the finished product is the very word of God, the inspired word of God. It's all inspired and it's all profitable. This is a great, glorious truth. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1. Says, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? And what is the place of my rest? And of course, if you're familiar with the Bible, you know there's a lot of these references. Thus says the Lord. But you know, even those prophets like Isaiah, even though they say, thus says the Lord, it's still Isaiah doing the writing. Which is kind of amazing. You would think it must be dictation. This part must be okay.
God says it, Isaiah writes it down and gives it. However, Isaiah doesn't sound like Jeremiah, and Jeremiah doesn't sound like Ezekiel. Ezekiel doesn't sound like Daniel, right? They all, even when they're saying, thus says the Lord, their unique personalities are at play, their various circumstances, their experiences in life are at play. So that doesn't trouble us. That makes the Bible even a bigger miracle, because God took all these people from all these places and yet blew in their sails and got them to say exactly what he wanted said, so that it is truly the very word of God when it's all said and done. I love that. I love the Bible. The Bible is an inspiring book, yes, but it's inspiring because it's inspired. It is breathed out by God himself. All that should lift your hearts as you're reading your Bible. You're not just reading a normal book. You are reading God's book, inspired by God himself. Now we have to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about the significance of the inspiration of the Word of God.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. John Crotts in just a moment as he continues to talk about the inspiration of Scripture. I mean, think about how remarkable that is. The same God who spoke galaxies into existence breathed out his words into a book that sits on our laps. I mean, think about it. The Bible is literally God-breathed. Every verse, every chapter, every book infused with divine wisdom. Talk about putting theology into action. That's it right there. And that's why I want to point you to Fortis Plus, because that's another example of putting theology into action. Practical steps. Download Fortis Plus and get equipped, because if you are not using Fortis Plus, seriously, you're missing out. It's free, doesn't cost you anything, and it's loaded with hundreds of hours of free audio and video content. And we make 7 new posts every single day, plus the daily news feature, hot takes, and director's cuts. Completely free, available right now. And honestly, it's like carrying around a theologian or Spurgeon in your pocket at all times. That'd be weird, but it's kind of like that, maybe a little bit. I don't know. All right, look, don't miss out. Head over to your app store right now and search for Fortis Plus, or go to fortisplus.org. And I know it can be a little bit overwhelming. We've got a solution. Just become a Fortis Insider. All you have to do is sign up at fortisinstitute.org. Now, here's something to celebrate. This ministry, Fortis Institute, what started as Wretched Radio, then went to Gospel Partners Media, we've been doing this faithfully for 25 years, equipping believers and serving local churches. Think about it, a quarter century of unwavering commitment to biblical truth and strengthening God's people to live boldly in a time where the culture tries to slap you back down, saying, hey, know your place. Keep that church stuff in the church. Look, that's not what God intended, and that's not what we're doing. And look, the amazing thing is 83% of every dollar given directly fuels this ministry. But here's the thing. We can't do it without you. We not only want you to join us, we need you to join us. Remember, your local church should always be your first priority. But if you're able to, we would love for you to pray about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Just head to fortisinstitute.org right now to get all of the answers to all of the questions that I know you likely have about what it would look like in your life to do that. fortisinstitute.org. All right, now let's get back to Dr. John Crotts as he continues to talk about the inspiration of Scripture. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Crotts.
Welcome back. Today on Integrated, we're continuing to think about the Scriptures. How are we supposed to think about the Scriptures? When we read our Bibles, what kinds of categories should we have in our minds as we open up the book? Well, today we're saying the Bible is inspired. We're thinking about the category of inspiration. And we have seen that how this works is God uses the people and the personalities and even the various writing styles of the authors of Scripture, and yet he guides them
superintends them by the Holy Spirit. He guides and guards it all so that the finished product will be the very word of God. Another key text for us to consider is Acts chapter 4, 24 through 26. It says, and when they heard it, this is the early church as they've been persecuted and they're praying. So they hear the reports of the hostility against them by the chief priest and the elders of the Jews, and they go to prayer. It says, they lifted their voice together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. Of course, they go on from there. But that quotation comes from Psalm chapter 2. And I love it that in their prayers, they say, David wrote this psalm. But they also said, David wrote this psalm by the Holy Spirit. So what that means is there's a human author, David, and yet the Holy Spirit was blowing in David's sails, so to speak, so that David was propelled by the Holy Spirit to write these beautiful words of Hebrew poetry, but really, God was the ultimate author of it all. So it's interesting to think how much sovereignty went into the production of the Bible. God was superintending not only the various authors of Scripture in their lives and personalities and the writing styles. You think of all that goes into who made you like you are. Some of it's nature, some of it's nurture, but really all of it is God's ultimate plan working out. Then you think about some of the letters of the New Testament. So these letters were, I like how some people describe it, they were occasional letters. Well, what does that mean? It means they were answering situations that were happening at specific occasions. Well, all right. So God is superintending Paul to write this letter to a real church in a real place called Corinth. And so what that means is God not only is sovereignly working in and through Paul and his personality and perspectives and experience, but God sovereignly allowed some of those crazy situations among the Corinthian church to get Paul to respond with the letter that he wrote in just the way that the Holy Spirit wanted it to come out so that it would directly benefit the Corinthians. Although, how much did it directly benefit the Corinthians? There had to be follow-up letters even after 1 Corinthians. It wasn't like this letter solved everything, but it accomplished just what God wanted it to accomplish, but not only for them, but for us as well. And even though you probably don't live in the ancient city of Corinth, right? Or even the modern city of Corinth in Greece, you still benefit. It's not directly, right? You have to kind of consider first the historical situation in Corinth, and then you consider how they would have understood this letter to them in their circumstances. But now we make comparisons between their circumstances and our circumstances. And now there is a direct message to us from Paul to Corinth to us. If you're me in Sharpsburg, Georgia, then that would be from Corinth to Georgia. But where are you hearing these words and thinking about reading 1 Corinthians? That message now comes to you. If you are a Christian, a follower of Christ, and you are in a healthy church, you probably have some situations that are similar to the Corinthian situations, and this inspired letter is still profitable to you today. I told you that one of my go-to books in theology is Greg Allison's book, 50 Core Truths for the Christian Life. I love that book, and I've taught through it a couple of times. But Dr. Allison would want us to know that related to inspiration, we need to think of some other categories. And of course, many theologians would use these words as well. When we think of inspiration, we think of verbal inspiration. And that means that the very words of Scripture are inspired by God. So you don't just read your Bible and say, ah, the gist of it is inspired, the ideas are inspired, but I can take it or leave it when it comes to the details. No, the very words are inspired by God. Therefore, we don't play games with the words of the Bible because they are inspired. And then another word theologians use when they talk about inspiration is plenary inspiration. Sometimes you hear people say, they cram it all together, the verbal plenary inspiration of God. Well, plenary means all of the words of Scripture are inspired by God, not just the good ones, not just the ones that are printed in red in some Bibles, the words of Jesus, right? Not just the New Testament, the Old Testament. It is all inspired by God. It is all profitable for all of God's purposes. Now, we said that sometimes the various authors of Scripture have their personalities coming through, so you read Paul differently. It reads a little differently than Peter. But there are some times where there are some direct quotations from God himself. No personality needed, right? The Ten Commandments, I'm thinking. When the very finger of God writes these words on the stone tablets, I saw a cartoon one time where Moses lifts the tablets up to the Lord and says, how do I know that these are inerrant? How do I know that they are inspired? It's like, Moses, I just handed them all to you right there. Then you can also think about Jesus's messages to the churches of Revelation 2 and 3. Well, that's not just John using his personality as he's communicating what Jesus wants him to communicate. No, these are messages straight from Jesus to the churches, like the church at Ephesus, for example. You know, what does Jesus think about your church? Well, you can certainly see 7 examples of first century churches that Jesus had some very specific opinions about. And that's wonderful. So we see that the Scripture is inspired. It's different in different ways, but it all fits together beautifully. And it also flows with our other categories. Because the Scripture is inspired and it comes straight from God, it is without error. It's inerrant. It cannot fail. It's infallible. It is authoritative. When the Bible says it, we do it. And it is sufficient. It has all that we need for life and godliness. So, how should we respond to this? As we always say, we don't want to just be hearers of the inerrant, inspired word. We also want to be doers of it. So how do we do inspiration? Well, because this word is true and inspired by God, you should believe it. You should trust it, right? If God gives you a promise, you don't just go, okay, that's some interesting intellectual data for me to consume. No, these are the inspired words of God. I can trust these words completely. Because the Bible is inspired by God, it is your spiritual food. You should eat it up. You should be a Bible reader day by day, week by week, month by month. Jesus said that the Word of God is even more important than literal food. Literal food is important. It's a gift from God. But this is our spiritual sustenance. It is God's inspired Word. So eat it up. We also saw in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that it's profitable. It works. It works for teaching. It works for correction. It works for reproof. It works for training in righteousness. Use it on yourself and use it on others. Ephesians chapter 4:15 says, our real ministry is speaking God's truth in love. So share God's truth with other people as a means of ministry. It works. And finally, the Bible is powerful. Because this is God's inspired word, there is some extra power packed in, right? So Paul says, I have confidence in the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. So preach this word to others. Tell others the glorious truth about the word of God, and let's do it in our own lives. It's inspired. It's profitable. Let's do it.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.